books, if you wish.
She gathered them into her arms and quickly followed after him. How? You withdrew my favor. He turned to her, his gaze emotionless.
Trust me, Lady Persephone. If I stripped you of my favor, you would know.
So I'm Lady Persephone again?
You have always been Lady Persephone, whether you choose to embrace your blood or not.
What is there to embrace? She asked. I'm an unknown god at best, and a minor one at that. She hated the look of disappointment that shadowed his face.
If that is how you think of yourself, you will never know power.
Her lips parted in surprise, and she noted how his eyes tightened right before his hand twitched. He was about to send her away without warning again. Don't, she commanded, and Hades paused. You asked that I not leave when I'm angry, and I'm asking you not to send me away when you're angry. He dropped his hand.
I am not angry.
Then why did you drop me in the underworld earlier? She asked. Why send me away at all?
I needed to speak with Hermes, he said.
And you couldn't say that? He hesitated. Don't request things of me you cannot deliver yourself, Hades. He stared at her. She wasn't sure what she expected of him. That her demands would make him angry? That he would argue that this was different? That he was a powerful god and he could do what he willed? Instead, he nodded.
I will grant you that courtesy.
She took a breath, relieved. Thank you. He extended his hand.
Come, we can return to Nevernight together. I have unfinished business there.
She took him up on the offer, and they teleported back to his office, appearing right in front of the mirror she and Hermes had hidden inside. Persephone tilted her head back so she could meet his eyes. How did you know we were in there? Hermes said we couldn't be seen.
I knew you were here because I could feel you.
His words made her shiver, and she withdrew from his warmth, picked up her backpack where she'd left it on the couch, and heaved it on her shoulders. On the way out the door, she paused. You said the map is only visible to those you trust. What does it take to gain the trust of the god of the dead? He responded simply,
Time.
Chapter 12. God of the Game. Persephone! Someone was calling her name. She rolled over and covered her head with her blanket to muffle the sound. She left the underworld late last night, and too keyed up to sleep, stayed awake to work on her article. She had a hard time choosing how she should proceed after watching Hades help that mother. In the end, she decided she had to focus on the bargains Hades made with mortals, the ones where he chose to offer on impossible terms. While she worked on the article, she found she was still frustrated, though she couldn't tell if it was over her bargain with Hades or their time in the stacks, the way he'd asked her what she wanted and refused to kiss her. Her skin had prickled with anticipation at the memory, though she wasn't anywhere near him. She'd pressed save on her article at 4 in the morning and decided to rest a few hours before rereading it. But as she started to drift off, Lexa burst through her bedroom door. Persephone, wake up! She groaned. Go away.
Oh no, you're going to want to see this. Guess what's in the news today?
Suddenly she was wide awake. Persephone shoved off her blankets and sat up, her imagination already taking hold. Had someone snapped a picture of her in her goddess form outside Nevernight? Had someone caught her inside the club with Hades? Lexa shoved her tablet into Persephone's face, and her eyes focused on something much worse.
It's all over social media today,
Lexa explained. No, no, no. Persephone gripped the tablet with both hands. The title across the top of the page was black and bold and familiar. Hades, God of the Game by Persephone Rossi. She read the first line aloud. Nevernight, an elite gambling club owned by Hades, God of the Dead, can be seen from anywhere in New Athens, The sleek pinnacle expertly mimics the imposing nature of the god himself and is a reminder to mortals that life is short, even shorter if you agree to gamble with the Lord of the Underworld. This was her draft. Her real article remained safely on her computer. "How did this get published?" she hissed. Lexa looked confused.
"What do you mean? Didn't you submit it?"
"No." She scrolled through the article, her stomach in knots. She noticed some additions, like a description of Hades she would have never written. Hades' eyes were described as colorless chasms, his face callous, his manner cold and boorish. Boorish? She wouldn't dream of describing Hades in such a manner. His eyes were inky but expressive, and every time she met his gaze, she felt like she could see the threads of his lifetimes there. In truth, his face could be callous at times, but when he looked at her, she saw something different. A softness to his jaw, an amusement alight in his face, a curiosity that burned, and his manner was anything but cold and boorish. He was passionate and charming and refined. There was only one person who had gone with her and seen Hades in the flesh, and that was Adonis. He'd also invaded her workspace and read her article without permission. Guess he'd been doing more than just reading it. Persephone's anxiety was now as strong as her fury. She tossed the tablet aside and jumped out of bed. Angry and vengeful words raced through her head. They sounded more like her mother's than her own. "He will be punished," she thought, "because I will be punished." She took a few deep breaths to cool her anger and consciously worked to uncurl her fingers. If she wasn't careful, her glamour would melt away. It always seemed to react to her emotions, maybe because her magic was borrowed. In reality, Persephone didn't want Adonis punished, at least not by Hades. The god of the dead had made his dislike of this mortal abundantly clear, and bringing him to Nevernight had been a mistake for several reasons. That was clear now. Perhaps this was part of the reason Hades had wanted her to stay away from him. A third emotion rose inside her, fear, and she tamped it down. She wouldn't allow Hades to get the best of her. Besides, she'd planned on writing about the god despite his threat.
"Where are you going?" Lexa asked.
"Work." Persephone disappeared into her closet, trading her nightshirt for a simple green dress. It was one of her favorite outfits, and if she was going to get through this day, she figured she needed every arsenal in her toolkit to feel as powerful as possible. Maybe she could get the article taken out of publication before Hades saw it.
"But you don't work today,"
Lexa pointed out from her perch on Persephone's bed. "I have to see if I can get ahead of this." Persephone reappeared, hobbling on one foot to buckle her sandals.
"Ahead of what?"
"The article. Hades can't see it." Lexa laughed and then covered her mouth quickly, speaking between her fingers.
"Persephone, I hate to break it to you, but Hades has already seen the article. He has people who look for this kind of stuff."
Persephone met Lexa's gaze, and her friend winced.
"Whoa."
"What?" Hysteria rose in Persephone's voice.
"Your eyes, they're freaky."
Avoiding Lexa's gaze while her emotions ricocheted all over her body, Persephone reached for her purse. "Don't worry about it. I'll be back later." She left her room and slammed the door to her apartment closed as Lexa called her name. The bus wouldn't run for another 15 minutes, so she decided to go on foot. She dug her compact out of her purse and applied more magic as she walked. No wonder Lexa had been freaked out. Her eyes had lost all their glamour and glowed bottle green. Her hair was brighter, her face sharper. She looked more divine than she ever had in public. By the time Persephone arrived at the Acropolis, her mortal appearance was restored. When she walked off the elevator, Valerie rose from behind her desk.
"Persephone," she said nervously, "I didn't think you were in today."
"Hey, Valerie." She tried to keep her voice cheerful and act like nothing was out of the ordinary, that Adonis hadn't stolen her article and Lexa hadn't woken her up to shove said angry article in her face.
"Just coming in to take care of a few things." "Oh, well, you have several messages. I transferred them to your voicemail." "Thanks."
But Persephone wasn't interested in her voicemails. She was here for Adonis. She dropped her purse at her desk and stalked across the workroom to his. Adonis sat with his earbuds in, focused intently on his computer. At first, she thought he was working, probably editing something he stole, she thought angrily. But as she came up behind him, she discovered he was watching some sort of television show. Titans After Dark. She rolled her eyes. It was a popular soap opera about how the Olympians defeated the Titans. Though she'd only watched parts of it, she'd started to imagine most of the gods as they were portrayed on the show. Now she knew Hades was all wrong, a pale, lithe creature with a hollow face. If he were going to seek revenge for anything, it should be how they depicted him on that show. She tapped Adonis's shoulder, and he jumped, taking out an earbud.
Persephone, congrats.
You stole my article, she cut him off.
Stealing is a harsh term for what I did.
He pushed away from his desk.
I gave you all the credit.
You think that matters? She seethed. It was my article, Adonis. Not only did you take it from me, you added to it. Why? I told you I would send it to you once I finished.
In all honesty, she wasn't sure what she expected him to say. But it wasn't the answer he gave.
I thought you would change your mind.
She stared at him a moment. I told you I wanted to write about Hades.
Not about that. I thought he might convince you he was justified in his contracts with mortals.
Let me get this straight. You decided that I couldn't think for myself, so you stole my work, altered it, and published it?
It's not like that. Hades is a god, Persephone.
And I'm a goddess, she wanted to yell. Instead, she ground out. You're right, Hades is a god, and for that very reason, you didn't want to write about him. You feared him, Adonis, not me.
He cringed.
I didn't mean...
What you meant doesn't matter, she snapped.
Persephone?
Dimitri called, and she and Adonis looked in the direction of their supervisor's office.
A moment?
Her gaze slid back to Adonis, and she pinned him with a final glare before heading into Dimitri's office. Yes, Dimitri, she said from the doorway. He was sitting behind his desk, a fresh edition of the paper in hand.
Take a seat.
She did, on the edge, because she wasn't sure what Dimitri would think of the article. She had a hard time calling it hers. Would his next words be, you're fired? It was one thing to say you wanted the truth, another to actually publish it. She considered what she would do when she lost her internship. She now had less than 6 months until graduation. It was unlikely another paper would hire the girl who dared call the god of the underworld the worst god. She knew many people shared Adonis's fear of Tartarus. Just as Dimitri started to speak, Persephone said, I can explain.
What is there to explain?
He asked.
It's clear by your article what you were trying to do here.
I was angry.
You wanted to expose an injustice, he said.
Yes, but there's more. It's not the whole story, she said. She'd really only shown Hades in one light, and that was really in no light at all, just darkness.
I hope it's not, Dimitri said.
What? Persephone straightened.
I'm asking you to write more.
The goddess of spring was quiet, and Dimitri continued.
I want more. How soon can you have another article out?
About Hades?
Oh, yes. You have only scratched the surface of this god.
But I thought, aren't you afraid of him? Dimitri laid the paper down and leveled his gaze with hers.
Persephone, I told you from the beginning, we seek truth here at New Athens News, and no one knows the truth of the king of the underworld. You can help the world understand him.
Dimitri made it all sound so innocent, but Persephone knew she would only bring hatred upon Hades from the article published today.
Those who fear Hades are also curious. They will want more. And you're going to deliver.
Persephone straightened at his direct order. Dimitri stood and walked to the wall of windows, his hands behind his back.
How about a biweekly feature?
That's a lot, Dimitri. I'm still in school, she reminded him.
Monthly, then. What do you say to 5, 6 articles?
Do I have a choice? She muttered, but Dimitri still heard. The corner of his mouth quirked.
Don't underestimate yourself, Persephone. Just think, if this is as successful as I think it will be, there will be a line of people waiting to hire you when you graduate.
Except it wouldn't matter because she'd be a prisoner, not just of the underworld, but of Tartarus. She wondered how Hades would choose to torture her. He'll probably refuse to kiss you, she thought, and rolled her eyes at herself.
Your next article is due on the 1st, he said. Let's have some variety. Don't just talk about his bargains. What else does he do? What are his hobbies? What does the underworld really look like?
Persephone felt uncomfortable at Dimitri's questions, and she wondered if they were for him rather than the public. With that, he dismissed her. Persephone walked out of Dimitri's office and sat down at her desk. Her head felt foggy, and she couldn't concentrate. A monthly feature following the god of the dead? What have you gotten yourself into, Persephone? She groaned out loud. Hades was never going to agree to this. Then again, he didn't have to. Perhaps this would give her a chance to bargain with him. Could she leverage the threat of more articles to convince him to let her out of the contract? And would his promise of punishment turn out to be true? Persephone went straight to class after leaving the Acropolis, and it seemed like everyone had a copy of New Athens News today. That bold black headline glared back at her on the bus, on her walk across campus, even in class. Someone tapped her on the shoulder, and she twisted to find two girls huddled together in the row behind her. She wasn't sure of their names, but they'd sat behind her since the beginning of the semester and said nothing until today. The girl on the right held a copy of the paper. You're Persephone, right? One of them asked. Is everything you wrote true? That question made her cringe. Her instinct was to say no, because she hadn't written the story, not in its entirety. But she couldn't. She settled on, the story is evolving. What she didn't anticipate was the excitement in the girl's eyes.
So there will be more?
Persephone cleared her throat. Yeah, yes. The girl on the left leaned farther over the table. So you've met Hades?
That's a stupid question, the other girl chided. What she wants to know is, what's Hades like? Do you have pictures?
A strange feeling erupted in Persephone's stomach, a metallic twist that made her feel both jealous and protective of Hades. Ironic, since she had promised to write more about him. Still, now that she was posed with these questions, she wasn't sure she wanted to share her intimate knowledge of the god. Did she want to talk about how she'd caught him playing fetch with his dogs in a grove in the underworld? Or how he'd amused her by playing rock, paper, scissors? These were human aspects of the god, and all of a sudden she felt possessive of them. They were hers. She offered a small, unamused smile. I guess you'll have to wait and see. Dimitri had been right. The world was just as curious about the god as they were afraid of him. The girls in her class weren't the only people who stopped her to ask about her article. On her way across campus, several other strangers called out to her. She guessed they were testing her name, and once they discovered she was Persephone, they ran up to her to ask the same questions. Did you really meet Hades? What does he look like? Do you have a picture? She made excuses to get away quickly. If there was one thing she hadn't anticipated, it was this, the attention she would receive. She couldn't decide if she liked it or not. She was just passing through the Garden of the Gods when her phone rang. Grateful for the excuse to ignore more strangers, she answered it. Hello?
Adonis told me the good news! A series on Hades? Congrats! When do you interview him next? And can I come?
Lexa laughed. Thanks, Lex, Persephone managed. After stealing her article, it didn't surprise her that Adonis had also taken the opportunity to text her friend about her new work assignment
before she even got a chance to tell her. We should celebrate La Rose this weekend? Lexa asked.
Persephone groaned. La Rose was an upscale nightclub owned by Aphrodite. She had never been inside, but she'd seen pictures. Everything was cream and pink, and like Hades' Never Night, there was an impossible waitlist.
How are we supposed to get into La Rose?
I have my ways, Lexa replied mischievously.
Persephone wondered if those ways included Adonis, and she was about to ask as much when she caught a flash in the corner of her eye. Whatever Lexa was saying on the other line was lost as her attention moved to her mother, appearing through the garden's foliage a few feet in front of her.
Hey, Lex, I'll call you back.
Persephone hung up and acknowledged Demeter with a curt, Mother, what are you doing here?
I had to ensure you were safe after that ridiculous article you wrote. What were you thinking?
Persephone felt the shock run deep, like an electric current splicing through her chest.
I thought you'd be proud. You hate Hades.
Proud? You thought I'd be proud? She scoffed. You wrote a critical article on a god, but not just any god, Hades. You deliberately broke my rule, not once, but multiple times.
Persephone's surprise must have shown on her face, because her mother added,
Oh yes, I know you have returned to Nevernight on multiple occasions.
Persephone glared at Demeter.
How?
Her eyes fell to the phone in Persephone's hand.
I tracked you.
Through my phone?
She knew her mother wasn't above violating her privacy to keep tabs on her. She'd proven that by having her nymphs spy on her. Still, Demeter hadn't bought her phone, nor did she pay the bill. She had no right to use it as a GPS.
Are you serious?
I had to do something. You weren't talking to me.
Since when? She demanded. I saw you Monday.
And you canceled our lunch.
The goddess sniffed.
We hardly spend time together anymore.
And you think stalking me will encourage me to spend more time with you? Persephone demanded.
Demeter laughed.
Oh, my flower, I cannot stalk you. I am your mother.
Persephone glared.
I don't have time for this.
She tried to sidestep her and leave, but she found she couldn't move. Her feet felt as though they were welded to the ground. Hysteria erupted in her stomach and lodged in her throat. Persephone met her mother's dark gaze, and for the first time in years, she saw Demeter as the vengeful goddess she was, the one who lashed nymphs and killed kings.
I have not dismissed you, her mother said. Remember, Persephone, you are only here by the grace of my magic.
Persephone wanted to scream at her mother, Keep reminding me I'm powerless. But she knew challenging her was the wrong move. It was what Demeter wanted so she could dole out her punishment. So instead, she inhaled a shaky breath and whispered, I'm sorry, Mother. For a tense moment, Persephone waited to see if Demeter would release her or abduct her. Then she felt her mother's hold loosen around her shaking legs.
If you return to Nevernight again, see Hades ever again, I will take you from this world.
Persephone wasn't sure where she gathered her courage, but she managed to look her mother in the eyes and say, Don't think for a second that I will ever forgive you if you send me back to that prison.
Demeter gave a sharp laugh.
My flower, I don't require forgiveness.
Then she vanished. Persephone knew Demeter meant her warning. The problem was there was no way to get around going back to Nevernight. She had a contract to fulfill and articles to write. Persephone's phone vibrated in her hand, and she looked down to see a message from Lexa.
Yes to La Rose?
She texted back. Sounds great. She was going to need a lot of alcohol to forget this day. Chapter 13. La Rose. Persephone and Lexa took a taxi to La Rose. It wasn't her preferred method of travel. She felt like they were a game of chance. She never knew what she was going to get, a smelly cab, a talkative driver, or a creepy one.
Tonight, they'd gotten a creepy one. He kept taking long looks at them in the rearview mirror, and had become so distracted he had to swerve hard to miss oncoming traffic. She glared at Lexa, who had insisted they couldn't arrive at La Rose on a bus. Better that than dead, she thought now.
5 articles about the God of the Dead, Lexa said dreamily. What do you think you'll write about next?
She honestly didn't know, and right now she didn't care to think about Hades, but Lexa wasn't going to let it go. Before Persephone could muster a response, Lexa gasped, the sound she always made when she had an idea or something terrible was happening. Persephone was sure that whatever was about to come out of her mouth was probably both.
You should write about his love life.
What? Persephone sputtered.
No, absolutely not.
Lexa pouted.
Why not?
What makes you think Hades would share that information with me?
Persephone, you're a journalist. Investigate.
I'm not really interested in Hades' past lovers. Persephone stared out the window.
Past lovers? That makes it sound like he has a current lover. Like you're the current lover.
No, Persephone said. I'm pretty sure the Lord of the Underworld is sleeping with his assistant.
So write about that, Lexa encouraged.
I'd rather not, Lexa. I work for New Athens News, not the Delphi Divine. I'm interested in truth. Besides, she'd rather not learn whether that was true. Just thinking about it made her sick.
You're pretty sure Hades is banging his assistant. Just get it confirmed and it's truth.
She sighed, frustrated. I don't want to write about trivial things. I want to write about something that will change the world.
And bashing Hades' godly antics will change the world?
It might, Persephone argued. And Lexa shook her head. What? Her friend sighed.
It's just, all you did in publishing that article was confirm everyone's thoughts and fears about the God of the Dead. I'm guessing there are other truths about Hades that weren't in that article.
What's your point?
If you want your writing to change the world, write about the side of Hades that makes you blush.
Persephone's face heated. You're such a romantic, Lexa.
There you go again, she said. Why can't you just admit you find Hades attractive?
I have admitted,
and that you're attracted to him?
Persephone's mouth snapped shut, and she crossed her arms over her chest, withdrawing her gaze from Lexa back to the window. I don't want to talk about this.
What are you afraid of, Persephone?
Persephone closed her eyes against that question. Lexa wouldn't understand. It didn't matter if she liked Hades or not, if she found him attractive or not, if she wanted him or not. He was not for her. He was forbidden. Maybe the contract was a blessing. It was a way to think of Hades as a temporary thing in her life.
Persephone?
I told you I don't want to talk about it, Lexa, she said tightly, hating the direction this conversation had gone. They didn't speak again even after they arrived at La Rose. When Persephone left the cab, the distinct smell of rain hit her nose, and when she looked up, lightning illuminated the sky. She shivered, wishing she had chosen a different outfit. Her slippery, shimmery teal dress only reached mid-thigh, hugging the curve of her breasts and hips, and the deep V-neck left little to the imagination and protection from the elements. She had chosen it to spite Hades. It was silly. She'd wanted to look like power, like temptation, like sin, all for him. She wanted to dangle herself in front of him and then draw back at the last moment when he was close enough to taste her. She wanted him to want her. It was all pointless, of course. La Rose was another god's territory. It was unlikely Hades would see her tonight. This dress was a stupid idea. La Rose was a beautiful building that looked like several crystals jutting from the earth. They were made of mirrored glass so that at night they reflected the light of the city. Like Nevernight, there was a huge line to get inside. A sudden chill of unease spread over Persephone, and she glanced around, unsure of where it was coming from. until her eyes landed on Adonis. He was grinning ear to ear, striding toward her and Lexa, dressed in a black shirt and jeans. He looked comfortable, confident, and smug. She was about to ask what he was doing here when Lexa called out to him,
"Adonis!"
She hugged him around the middle the moment he reached them, and he returned the embrace.
"Hey, babe."
"Babe," Persephone echoed flatly. "Lexa, what is he doing here?" Her best friend pulled away from Adonis.
"Adonis wanted to celebrate you, so he reached out to me. We thought it would be fun to surprise you."
"Oh, I am surprised." Persephone glared at Adonis.
"Come on, I have a suite."
Adonis took Lexa's hand and looped it through his arm, but when he offered the same to Persephone, she declined. Adonis's smile faltered for a moment, but he quickly recovered, grinning down at Lexa as if nothing was amiss. Persephone considered leaving, but she had come with Lexa, and she really didn't feel comfortable leaving her with Adonis. At some point tonight, she was going to have to tell her best friend about what her crush had done. Adonis led them past the line and inside the club. Music vibrated through Persephone's body as they entered under the misty pink hue of the laser lights. The ground floor had room for dancing and places to sit that were curtained in crystals. Suites dominated the upper tiers of the club, overlooking a stage and the dance floor. Adonis led them up a set of stairs to a suite on the second floor and through a crystal curtain that created a barrier from the outside world. The interior was luxurious, with soft pink couches on either side of a fire pit, which offered warmth and an ambiance Persephone found annoying.
"This is my personal suite," Adonis said.
"This is amazing."
Lexa went straight to the balcony overlooking the dance floor.
"You like?"
Adonis asked, hovering near the entrance.
"Of course, you'd have to be crazy not to."
"What about you, Persephone?"
Adonis looked at her expectantly. Why was he seeking praise from her? "You must be very lucky," she said curtly. "You're on the VIP list at two clubs owned by gods." Adonis's eyes dulled, but he didn't miss a beat.
"You should know I'm lucky, Persephone. I set your career in motion."
She glared at him, and he smirked, then crossed the room to stand beside Lexa, who seemed oblivious to their exchange over the pounding music. She leaned into him, and Adonis placed his hand on the small of her back. Persephone stared at them for a moment, conflict splitting her chest, caught between her anger with Adonis and love for her friend. Lexa was clearly infatuated with the man. Did Adonis make Lexa's heart feel like it wanted to leave her chest? Did her whole body turn electric when he touched her? Did her thoughts scatter when he entered the room? A waitress came to take their order, interrupting Persephone's thoughts. She was mortal, having no aura of magic around her, and dressed in a tight iridescent dress. Its shimmering surface reminded Persephone of the inside of a shell. Once she took Lexa and Adonis' orders, the waitress turned to Persephone. "A cab, please," Persephone said, glancing at her friend. "Make it two." Shortly after she returned with their drinks, Sybil, Arrow, and Xeres arrived. Sybil in a short black leather skirt and a lacy top, and the twins matching in their dark jeans, black shirts, and leather jackets. They took a seat opposite Persephone and placed their orders with the waitress. After she left, Sybil looked around the suite.
My, Adonis. Looks like favor has its perks."
The air in the room grew heavy, like there was some kind of history behind Sybil's comment. Persephone sought Lexa's gaze, but she wasn't looking at her, or anyone. She had turned her attention back to the dance floor. This was what Persephone had feared. If Adonis did have a god's favor, it meant that any mortal he set his sights on was possibly in danger. Lexa knew that, and she wasn't going to risk the wrath of a god, was she?
"Don't believe everything you hear, Sybil,"
Adonis said.
"You expect us to believe you get all these passes because you work for New Athens News?"
asked Xeres. Adonis sighed, rolling his eyes.
"Persephone,
Arrow said. You work for the news. Do you get passes to popular clubs?
She hesitated. No.
Persephone here was invited to Nevernight by Hades himself.
She glared at Adonis. She knew what he was doing, trying to take the attention off himself. Luckily, no one took the bait. Keep denying it. I know a charmed one when I see one, said Sybil.
And we all know you're fucking Apollo, but we don't say anything,
said Adonis.
Whoa, that was out of line, man, said Arrow.
But Sybil raised her hand to silence her friend's defense. At least I'm honest about my favor, she said. The longer this went on, the more Persephone knew she had to get her friend out of this suite. Lexa was going to need air and some time to get over the disappointment of getting her hopes up about Adonis. Persephone stood and crossed the room. Lexa, let's dance. She took her hand and led her out of the suite. Once they were downstairs, she turned to Lexa.
I'm okay, Persephone, Lexa said quickly.
I'm sorry, Lex. She was quiet a moment, nibbling on her lip.
Do you think Sybil is right?
The girl was an oracle, which meant she was probably more in tune with the truth than anyone in the party. But still, all Persephone could say was, maybe?
Who do you think it is?
It could be anyone, but there were a few goddesses and gods who were notorious for taking mortal lovers. Aphrodite, Hera, and Apollo, just to name a few. Don't think about it. We came here to have fun, remember? A waitress approached them and handed them two drinks. Oh, we didn't order, Persephone started to say, but the waitress interrupted. On the house, she smiled. Persephone and Lexa each took a glass. The liquid inside was pink and sweet, and they drank fast, Lexa to drown her sadness and Persephone for courage to dance. Once they finished, she grabbed Lexa's hand and dragged her into the throng. They danced together and with strangers. The tempo of the music, the flash of the laser lights, and the alcohol in their system left them feeling happily disconnected from the events of the day. There was just the here and now. The crowd moved around them, rocking them back and forth. Persephone panted. Her mouth was dry and sweat trickled off her forehead. She felt flushed and dizzy. She came to a stop on the dance floor. The crowd pulsed around her, but the world still spun, sending her stomach turning. It was then she noticed she'd become separated from Lexa. The faces blurred around her as she pushed through the crowd, growing dizzier with each jolt to her body. She thought she caught sight of her friend's electric blue dress and followed its shimmer, but when she came to the edge of the dance floor, Lexa wasn't there. Maybe she'd gone back up to the suite. Persephone started back up the steps. Each move made her head feel like it was full of water. At one point, the dizziness was too much, and she paused to close her eyes. Persephone? She peeled her eyes open to find Sybil standing in front of her. Are you okay? Have you seen Lexa? She asked. Her tongue felt thick and swollen. No. Have you?
I have to find Lexa.
She turned away from Sybil, heading back downstairs. At this point, she knew something was wrong with her. She needed to find her friend and go home.
Whoa, whoa, wait. Sybil stepped in front of her. Persephone, how much have you had to drink?
One glass, she said.
The girl shook her head, brows pinched together. There's no way you've just had one glass. Persephone pushed past her. She wasn't going to argue about how much alcohol she had tonight. Maybe Lexa was in the bathroom. She tried to keep to the wall as she searched for her friend, but found herself pulled into the sea of moving bodies. Just when she felt the crowd would swallow her completely, someone grabbed her wrist and drew her toward them. She put her hands out, and they landed on a hard chest. She looked up into Adonis's face.
Whoa, where are you going, babe?
Let me go, Adonis.
She tried to pull away, but he held her fast.
Shh, it's all right. I'm your friend.
If you were my friend...
You're going to have to get over that little article thing, babe.
Don't call me babe, and don't tell me what to do.
Has anyone ever told you you're a handful?
he asked, and then his hold on her tightened, forcing their hips together. She thought she just might vomit.
I just want to talk,
he said.
No.
Adonis's face changed in that moment. His playful smirk turned down, and his bright eyes darkened.
Fine. We don't have to talk.
His hand snaked behind her head, fisting in her hair, and he pressed his lips hard against hers. She clamped her mouth shut and wrenched against him, but he held tight, tongue prying at her closed mouth, and tears sprang to her eyes. Rough hands clamped down on Adonis's arms, a pair of ogres yanking him off and dragging him away from Persephone. She wiped her hands across her mouth to remove the feel of Adonis' lips on hers when she saw the god of the dead moving toward her. Hades, she breathed. She closed the distance between them, wrapping her arms around his waist, welding herself to him. One of Hades' hands pressed into her back, the other one twisted into her hair. He held her close for a moment before drawing her away. He reached for her chin and tilted her head up so their eyes met.
Are you well?
He asked. She shook her head, swallowing thickly. There were so many things wrong with this day and night. Let's go. He guided her toward him, wrapping a protective arm around her shoulder and led her through the crowd. It parted for him easily, and she was vaguely aware that Hades' presence in the club had caused a type of silent chaos. The music still blared in the background, but no one was dancing. They'd all stopped to watch as he steered her off the dance floor. Hades, she started to warn him, but he seemed to know what she was thinking and answered before she could form the words.
They will not remember this.
That satisfied her enough to follow him toward the exit, until she remembered that she needed to find her best friend.
Lexa!
She turned back too fast, and her vision swam. When she swayed, Hades caught her, scooping her into his arms.
I will ensure she gets home safe,
Hades said. Any other time, she would have protested or argued, but the world was still spinning, even with her eyes closed.
Persephone?
Hades' voice was low, and his breath brushed her lips. She asked, her brows knitted together, and she squeezed her eyes shut tight.
What's wrong?
Dizzy, she whispered. He didn't speak again. She could tell when they'd stepped outside because the cool air touched every inch of her exposed skin, and the rain pattered on the awning over La Rosa's entrance. She shivered, snuggling nearer to Hades' warmth, and inhaled his now familiar scent of ash and spice. You smell good. She fisted his jacket, pressing as close to him as possible. His body was like a rock. He'd had centuries to chisel this physique. Hades chuckled, and she opened her eyes to find him looking at her. Before she could ask what he was laughing at, he shifted, holding her tight as he folded into the back seat of a black limo. She caught a glimpse of Antony as he shut their car door. The cabin was cozy and private, and Hades slid her off his lap and into the leather seat beside him. She watched his lithe fingers adjust the controls so that the vents were pointed at her and the heater was on full blast. As they pulled out on the road, she asked, What are you doing here?
You don't listen to orders.
She laughed. I don't take orders from you, Hades. He raised a brow.
Trust me, darling, I'm aware.
I'm not yours, and I'm not your darling.
We've been through this, haven't we? You are mine. I think you know that just as well as I do.
She folded her arms over her chest. Have you ever thought that maybe you're mine instead? His lips twitched, and his eyes fell to her wrist.
It is my mark upon your skin.
Maybe the alcohol made her brave. She shifted, sliding her leg across Hades' lap so that she straddled him. Her dress rose, and she could feel him against her, hard and aroused. She smiled, and his gaze returned to hers instantly. This time it was like fire scorching her skin. Should I leave a mark? She asked.
Careful, goddess.
His words were a growl. She rolled her eyes. Another order.
A warning,
Hades said through gritted teeth. And then his hands clasped her bare thighs, and she inhaled sharply at the feel of his skin against hers.
But we both know you don't listen even when it's good for you.
You think you know what's good for me? She asked, dangerously close to his lips. You think you know what I need? His hands moved up, pushing her dress higher, and she gasped as his fingers neared the apex of her thighs. Hades laughed.
I don't think, goddess, I know. I could make you worship me.
Persephone bit her lip, and his eyes fell there and remained. So she closed the distance between them, sealing her lips to his. He opened to her immediately, and she tasted him deep, taking what was hers to claim. Her fingers tangled into his hair, tilting his head back to kiss him deeper. In this position, she felt powerful. When she finally pulled away, it was to nibble at his ear. You will worship me, she said, and rolled her hips against him. His hands dug into her skin, and she moved in, her cheek brushing his as she whispered, and I won't even have to order you. She didn't think his hands could grasp her any tighter, and then he lifted her up effortlessly and maneuvered her so that she was cradled tight against him. He fixed her dress, then covered her with his own jacket.
Don't make promises you can't keep, goddess.
She blinked, confused by the sudden change in him. He had rejected her. You're just afraid. Hades didn't speak, but when she glanced at him, he was glaring out the window, jaw locked tight, hands fisted, and she got the sense she might be right. It wasn't long after that she fell asleep in his embrace. Chapter 14, A Touch of Jealousy. When Persephone woke, she was aware of two things. One, she was in a stranger's bed, and two, she was naked. She bolted up, holding black silk sheets to her chest. She was in Hades' room. She recognized it from the day she'd fallen into the Styx and he'd healed her, and she found Hades sitting before his blazing fireplace. It was probably the most godlike she'd ever seen him. He looked perfectly untouched, not a hair out of place, not a wrinkle in his jacket, not a button undone. He held his whiskey in one hand, and the fingers of his other hand rested against his lips. The halo of fire roaring behind him was also fitting, raging like his eyes. It was how she knew that though he appeared to be reclining, he was wound tight. He kept her gaze, not speaking, and took a sip of his drink. Why am I naked? Persephone asked.
Because you insisted on it,
he answered in a voice void of the barely restrained desire he'd exhibited in the limo. She didn't have many memories from last night, but she was sure she'd never forget the press of Hades' fingers into her thighs, or the delicious friction that sent shockwaves through her body.
You were very determined to seduce me.
Persephone blushed fiercely and averted her gaze. Did we? Hades laughed darkly, and Persephone clenched her teeth so hard her jaw hurt. Why was he laughing?
No, Lady Persephone. Trust me, when we fuck, you'll remember.
When? Your arrogance is alarming. His eyes flashed.
Is that a challenge?
Just tell me what happened, Hades, she demanded.
You were drugged at La Rose. You're lucky you were immortal. Your body burned through the poison fast.
Not fast enough to prevent embarrassment, apparently. She remembered a waitress approaching once they'd hit the dance floor, how she'd brought them drinks and said they were on the house. Soon after, she'd consumed hers and started dancing. The music had sounded far away, the lights were blinding, and every move she made sent her head spinning. She also remembered hands on her body and cold lips closing over hers. Adonis, Persephone said. Hades' jaw tightened at hearing the mortal's name. What did you do to him? Hades looked at his glass, swirling the whiskey before downing the last bit. Once he finished, he set the glass aside, not looking at her.
He is alive, but that is only because he was in his goddess's territory.
You knew. Persephone pushed off the bed and stood, Hades' silk sheets rustling around her. His penetrating gaze drifted from her face down, tracing every line of her body. She felt as if she were standing bare before him. Is that why you warned me to stay away from him?
I assure you, there are more reasons to stay away from that mortal than the favor Aphrodite has bestowed upon him.
Like what? You can't expect me to understand if you don't explain anything. She'd taken a step toward him, even though some part of her knew it was dangerous. Whatever Hades had gone through in the night was clearly still racing through his mind.
I expect that you will trust me, he said, standing.
The blunt admission shocked her.
And if not me, then my power.
She hadn't even considered his powers, the ability to see the soul for what it was, raw and burdened. What did he see when he looked at Adonis? A thief, she thought. A manipulator. Hades put distance between them, refilling his glass at the small bar in his room. I thought you were jealous. Hades was about to take a drink, but he paused to laugh. She was both angry and hurt at his dismissal. Don't pretend you don't get jealous, Hades. Adonis kissed me last night. Hades slammed the glass down.
Keep reminding me, goddess, and I'll reduce him to ash.
So you are jealous, she accused.
Jealous?
He stalked toward her.
That leech touched you after you told him not to. I have sent souls to Tartarus for less.
She recalled Hades' anger at Duncan, the ogre who had laid his hands on her, and she realized that was why he was on edge. He probably did want to find Adonis and incinerate him. I'm sorry. She wasn't sure what to say, but his distress seemed so great she thought she might ease it with an apology. She only made it worse.
Don't you dare apologize.
He cupped her face.
Not for him. Never for him.
He studied her and whispered,
Why are you so desperate to hate me?
Her brows came together, and she covered his hands with hers. I don't hate you, she said quietly, and Hades stiffened, tearing away from her. The violence with which he moved surprised her, and the anger and tension returned.
No, shall I remind you? Hades, lord of the underworld, rich one, and arguably the most hated god among mortals, exhibits a clear disregard for mortal life.
He quoted her article word for word, and Persephone cringed. How many times had he read it? How he must have seethed. Hades' jaw worked.
This is what you think of me?
She opened her mouth and closed it before deciding to explain. I was angry.
Oh, that is more than obvious.
Hades' voice was sharp. I didn't know they would publish it.
A scathing letter illustrating all of my faults? You didn't think the media would publish it?
She glared at him. I warned you. It was the wrong thing to say.
You warned me?
He set his gaze upon her, dark and angry.
You warned me about what, goddess?
I warned you that you would regret our contract.
And I warned you not to write about me.
He stepped closer to her, and she didn't back down, tilting her head to keep his gaze. Perhaps in my next article I'll write about how bossy you are, she said.
Next article?
You didn't know? I've been asked to write a series on you.
No,
he said. You can't say no. You're not in control here.
And you think you are?
I'll write the articles, Hades, and the only way I'll stop is if you let me out of this god's damned contract. Hades went rigid, then hissed.
You think to bargain with me, goddess?
The heat coming off him was almost unbearable. He inched forward, though it wasn't like he had much space. He was already so close to her. She stuck out one hand, clutching the sheet to her body with the other.
You've forgotten one important thing, Lady Persephone. To bargain, you need to have something I want.
You asked me if I believed what I wrote, she argued. You care.
It's called a bluff, darling.
Bastard, she hissed. Hades reached out. Burying his hand in her hair, he hauled her against him and pulled her head back so that her throat felt taut. It was savage and possessive. Her breath caught in her throat, and the space between her thighs felt damp. She craved him.
Let me be clear. You bargained, and you lost. There is no way out of our contract unless you fulfill its terms. Otherwise, you remain here with me.
If you make me your prisoner, I will spend the rest of my life hating you.
You already do.
She flinched again. She didn't like that he thought that and kept saying it. Do you really believe that? He didn't answer, just offered a mocking laugh, and then pressed a hot kiss to her mouth before tearing away viciously.
I will erase the memory of him from your skin.
She was surprised by his ferocity, but it thrilled her. He tore away the silk sheet, leaving her naked before him, and when he lifted her off the ground, she wrapped her legs around his waist without a second thought. He gripped her bottom tight, and his mouth crashed into her. The friction of his clothes against her bare skin drove her to the edge, and liquid heat pooled at her core. Persephone raked her hands into Hades' hair, grazing his scalp as she freed the long strands, gripping them hard in her hands. She pulled his head back and kissed him hard and deep. A guttural sound escaped Hades' mouth at that, and he moved, backing her into the bedpost, grinding into her hard. His teeth grazed her skin, biting and sucking in a way that kept her from breathing, eliciting gasps from deep in her throat. Together, they were mindless, and when she found herself sprawled out on the bed, she knew she would give Hades anything. He wouldn't even have to ask. But the god of the dead stood over her, breathing hard. His hair spilled over his shoulders. His eyes were dark, angry, aroused. And instead of closing the distance he had created between them, he smirked. It was unsettling, and Persephone knew she wasn't going to like what came next.
Well, you would probably enjoy fucking me, but you definitely don't like me.
Then he was gone. Persephone found her dress neatly folded in one of the two chairs in front of Hades' fireplace, with a black cloak beside it. As she pulled on the dress and the cloak, she thought of how Hades had looked at her when she awoke. How long had he sat watching her sleep? How long had he simmered in his rage? Who was this god who appeared out of nowhere to rescue her from unwanted advances, claimed it wasn't jealousy, and folded her clothes? Who accused her of hating him, but kissed her like he had never partook of something so sweet? Her body flushed as she thought about how he'd lifted her and moved her to the bed. She couldn't recall what she'd been thinking, but she knew it wasn't telling him to stop. Still, he'd left her. That heady flush turned to anger. He'd laughed and left her. Because this is a game to him, she reminded herself. She couldn't let her strange and electric attraction to him overpower that reality. She had a contract to fulfill. Persephone left Hades' room via the balcony to check on her garden. Despite her resentment of the greenhouse, she still loved flowers, and the god of the underworld had managed to create one of the most beautiful gardens she'd ever seen. She marveled at the colors and the scents, the sweet smell of wisteria, the heady and sultry scent of gardenias and roses, the calming aroma of lavender. And it was all magic. Hades had lifetimes to learn his powers, to craft illusions that deceived the senses. Persephone had never known the feel of power in her blood. Did it burn hot, like the need Hades ignited within her? Did it feel like last night when she'd boldly straddled him and whispered challenges in his ear as she tasted his skin? That had been power. For a moment, she'd controlled him. She'd seen lust cloud his gaze, heard his growl of passion, felt his hard arousal. But she'd not been powerful enough to keep him under her spell. She was beginning to think she would never be powerful enough. Which was why a mortal life suited her so well. Why she could not let Hades win. Except she wasn't sure how she was supposed to win when her garden still looked like a scorched piece of earth. As she came to the end of the path, the lush gardens gave way to a bald patch where the soil was more like sand and black as ash. It had been a few weeks since she'd planted the seeds in the ground. They should be sprouting by now. Even without magic, mortal gardens at least produced that much life. If it had been her mother's garden, it would already be fully grown. Persephone had harbored a secret hope that through this process she would discover some dormant power that didn't involve stealing life. But standing before this barren patch of earth made her realize how ridiculous that hope was. She couldn't just wait around for power to manifest or for mortal seeds to sprout in the underworld's impossible soil. She had to do something more. She straightened and went in search of Hecate. Persephone found the goddess in a grove near her home. Hecate wore purple robes today, and her long hair was braided and snaked over her shoulder. She sat cross-legged in the soft grass, petting a furry weasel. Persephone squealed when she saw it. "What is that?" she demanded. Hecate smiled softly and scratched the creature behind its small ear. "This is Gael. She is a polecat."
"That is not a cat."
"Polecat," Hecate laughed quietly. "She was once a human witch, but she was an idiot, so I turned her into a polecat." Persephone stared at the goddess, but Hecate didn't seem to notice her stunned silence. "I like her better this way," Hecate added, then looked up at Persephone. "But enough about Gael. What can I help you with, my dear?" That question was all it took. Persephone erupted, breaking into a seething tangent about Hades, the contract, and her impossible wager, avoiding details about this morning's disaster. She even admitted her greatest secret, that she could not grow a single thing. When she finished, Hecate pursed her lips, looking thoughtful but not surprised.
"If you cannot give life, what can you do?" she asked.
"Destroy it." Hecate's pretty brows furrowed over her dark eyes.
"You have never grown anything at all?"
Persephone shook her head.
"Show me."
"Hecate, I don't think that's..."
"I'd like to see."
Persephone sighed and turned her hands over. She stared at her palms for a long moment before bending and pressing them to the grass. Where it was green before, it yellowed and withered beneath her touch. When she looked at Hecate, the goddess was staring at her hands. "I think that is why Hades challenged me to create life, because he knew it was impossible." Hecate did not look so certain.
"Hades does not challenge people with the impossible. He challenges them to embrace their potential."
"And what is my potential?"
"To be the goddess of spring."
The polecat hopped off Hecate's lap as she got to her feet, brushing off her skirts. Persephone expected the goddess to continue asking questions about her magic, but instead she said,
"Gardening is not the only way to create life."
Persephone stared at her. "How else should I create life?" She could tell by the amused look on her face that she wasn't going to like what Hecate had to say.
"You could have a baby."
"What?"
"Of course, to fulfill the contract, Hades would have to be the father," she continued, as if she hadn't heard Persephone. "He would be furious if it were anyone else."
She decided she was going to ignore that comment. "I'm not having Hades' child, Hecate."
"You asked for suggestions. I was merely trying to be a good friend."
"And you are, but I am not ready for children. And Hades is not a god I would want as a father to them anyway." Though she did feel a bit guilty for saying that last part out loud. "What am I going to do? Ugh, this is impossible."
It is not as impossible as it seems, my dear. You are in the underworld, after all.
You do realize the underworld is the realm of the dead, don't you, Hecate?
It is also a place for new beginnings, she said. Sometimes the existence a soul leads here is the best life they've ever had. I am sure you, of all the gods, understand that best.
The realization settled heavy on Persephone's shoulders. She did understand that.
Living here is no different than living up there, Hecate added. You challenged Hades to help mortals lead a better existence. He has merely charged you with the same here in the underworld.
Chapter 15. Offer. Another busy week passed, full of reading articles, writing papers, and taking tests. Persephone had thought that by now the hype over her article would die down, but it hadn't. She still got stopped on her way to the Acropolis and the university. Strangers asked her when the next article about Hades was coming out and what she planned to write about. She was a little tired of the questions, and even more tired of repeating herself. The article is out in a few weeks, and you'll have to buy the paper. She started putting her headphones in on her walks, just so she could claim she couldn't hear people when they called her name.
Persephone?
Too bad she couldn't do that at work right about now. Dimitri poked his head out of his office. Somehow he looked younger and older at the same time in his denim shirt and polka-dot bow tie. Maybe because the blue brought out the gray in his hair, and the bow tie was fun.
Yes, she asked.
Have a moment?
Sure.